welcome to the show. This is TED Talks Too Much. And I think we got another great one for you today. I am Ted Moss, ex-brunette, stand-up comedian, and your host. We are located in the OK Boomer Studios, just north of Detroit and south of Flint, Michigan, and the birthplace of the automobile industry and the middle class, where we are now experiencing new labor pains, just hoping to be born again. But while we wait for that, let's talk. And on today's show, we got a very special one because it's the one-year anniversary of TED Talks Too Much. I got my good buddies Ron Rigby and Billy Reno on, and we're going to be talking about hair, ears, interviewing for jobs, jokes, sharing crabs, and gang showers, and more. For all that, stay tuned. University research team has reported that 14% of female seagulls on an island off the coast of California are lesbians. They are calling it the first solid evidence of widespread homosexuality amongst wild birds. Researchers were shocked to note that even with the absence of opposable thumbs, there was a lot of scissoring going on. No evidence of homosexuality amongst male birds has been noted. However, with the construction of the new 12-stall rest stop on the island, we believe these numbers are apt to change. Okay, here we go. I'll tell you what, if you ever wondered what it sounds like to have a bunch of stand-up comedians just sitting around and shooting the shit, this is the show for you. I've got a couple of my best friends on here. We're going to be talking about first girlfriends, jokes, lies, all kinds of crazy stuff. But in any case, give an OK Boomer Studio welcome to my good buddies, Ron Rigby and Mr. Billy Reno.
I'm saying, what am I hearing? I'm hearing a fucking Sasquatch or something.
I wonder if I could do that through the whole thing. Like, every time Ron and Ted are talking,
I'm getting feedback.
This is so boring.
Ted, we're going to come back, and Ted's going to have his little thing there taken apart. He's trying to figure out which wires are crossed.
Are you recording, Ted, now?
Yes.
Well, generally, when you're on a show, they'll say, like, okay, you're ready to start.
I'm going to actually give you that. See, what we do is we do a little gabbing insight to the background of the show.
I noticed that you don't start your shows with dead start. Let's start. No. It's always like, what did you say?
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, then I told him, fuck that. You know? And I'm like, what were they talking about?
It's very clever. Let's start.
People are looking at their podcast like, do I need to read? What did I miss something? Did I come in? Was I already listening to this once before?
And all right. This is my 1 year anniversary show, and we've got Mr. Billy Reno and we've got Mr. Ron Rigby. And that means we're going to do a three-person show. I've never done this before.
Three-way.
Yeah. It's my first three-way, so we'll see how this goes.
This is your first three-way with two guys.
Yeah, two guys. Yeah. You did that girl and that great dame one time.
What was that joke somebody did? She was nursing. It was a baby or something.
Yeah, Bouchard.
That's Bouchard.
Joke. Yeah.
Had the first three-way.
Yeah. That's Bouchard. I thought it was Sal for a second, but then I'm like, Bill. Yeah. That was Bill.
Well, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm great.
Great to be back, man.
Yeah.
1 year. What was it, a year ago that I was here, do you think?
You know, not quite, because
I was like the fourth person.
Yeah, that's right. You were supposed to be first, but we went through that where you didn't show up.
Oh, no, I didn't show up. I just couldn't make it.
I wasn't the first choice for the show. I'm out.
Billy just acted like he was going to leave, but everyone knows.
I think Billy, you were second.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry.
Oh, Ron.
Oh, God. You are so popular.
No, it's Arizona. That's nothing. I'm going to just...
Well, turn off your fucking phone.
I forgot.
I thought maybe it was a time to take your meds or something.
Yeah. Well. Again?
Always is. Yeah.
But Ron, you were about fourth or fifth, somewhere in there. And Billy, I think you were second after Chris Lazar.
Yeah. Yes, I was after Chris. So yeah. Chris was your first one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, right, right. So yeah, you were the second podcast. And Ron, I remember we had a conversation about, you know, you were sorry that you hadn't showed up earlier. And yep. I said, yeah, I was waiting for you. And you said, bullshit.
Right. Yep. That was it.
Yeah.
And I ended up calling Ted still you. Looks peeved about that.
He's still a soft spot with him. Yeah,
yeah, he's boring a hole into you as he said that.
He tends to hold on to stuff too long, you know.
Yeah, that's
look at his hair is getting lighter from it, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't there Friday night.
Yeah.
Tim Finkel just went off on Ted about his hair. Yeah. Yeah, it was hilarious. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Well, it was hilarious to some people. Other people were offended. I won't mention who was who.
Yeah, that's funny.
I actually got a note from Tim, a text next day, because Tim had been drinking a bit.
Yeah.
And he went a little bit hard. The funny thing about that was I was sitting at the table next to Tim, and I ordered a Clue and Cream, which looked like a glass of milk.
Yeah.
He went hard on the milk at the table, too, earlier. That I had been really nice to his wife, talking about Christmas and family, and trying to be engaged, because she said kind of... just sitting there, and he was off, so I was being polite. So I'm being really kind, and he sits down and just starts hammering me. Then we gather in a group after the show, and he goes, I'm not finished.
That was only round one?
Yeah.
You know what's funny, too, is before that show, Tim and I were talking, because Paolo Buzignani's getting married, and his bachelor party, one of his guys said, hey, you should have some of your comedian friends come roast you. So Paolo, you know, he asked me if I wanted to do it, and I was like, I'm not good at that stuff. And he goes, yeah, Tim Finkel said, Finkel said that I'm too nice of a guy. And that's what I said after Tim went off on Ted's hair. I'm like, see, Tim, you can do it.
Yeah. You aren't nice at all.
Yeah, you can do it. You got a mean streak.
All you got to do is have three of those fucking M43 beers and you'll go off.
Yeah, just tune up a little bit.
Yeah. I can't even remember what Tim said, but we were laughing our asses off.
I remember, but I'm not
going
to repeat it.
Yeah.
It's scorched into me. So
you know what's weird is that when you walked in, I just thought, I didn't even notice it. I'm like... Ted's always had kind of gray hair.
But,
you know, it wasn't, the lights weren't way up and all that stuff. You know, now I can see it's obviously hilarious looking, but,
I'm only dating women with poor vision at this point.
If it wasn't for your dark roots, I wouldn't even notice it, but I can see your dark, you know, you're pretty dark still. You're not.
Yeah.
I always thought you were a lot grayer than your roots are.
So did I.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, who knows? No, it doesn't really matter at this point. I'm just glad to have hair, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a plus. Yeah. You have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
For being quite old. Yours is opposite. Your hair is dark and your beard is gray.
Exactly right. I'm going to I dye my gray beard because I think it looks stupid.
You bleach it? Yeah.
Well, no. I'm going to.
Oh, you make it brown?
I'm going to make it brown, yeah, because I think it looks stupid with the dark hair.
It does.
And people, and everyone thinks I dye my hair because is so light, you know, so. But I don't. It's just the way it is.
Some gray in your hair, though.
I do, but it's weird. It doesn't show up a lot like some people. It's not real contrasting, so you can't see it that. Yeah. Like my pubes, you can tell right away.
Right.
You know, my head on my head, not as much.
My problem is my ears are too low, which means I have a lot of room for hair between the top of my head and my ears.
Yeah.
It just gets too bushy.
Well, you got like 17-year-old hair on your head still.
Did you measure your ears? Is that like, yeah, how do you know your ears are too low?
No, because every time I put glasses on, they're doing a wheelie. You know what I mean?
That's funny. You laugh, but I do have like one of my ears is lower, so my glasses sit like this on my face all the time.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I try to like push one up to make it look level, especially in pictures. You'll notice I'm like, damn it, my glasses are tilted, but I think my ear is lower. That's
for
all
pictures,
I can be.
Just take your glasses off.
I should, yeah. But, they cover a lot of bags under your eyes, Bill.
I had a girl that worked for me in the restaurant when I was a line supervisor at Schinzel's, and she came in with crooked glasses, and she did it for the first couple of days, and I didn't want to embarrass her, and eventually I said, hey, your glasses are really crooked. And she lifted up her hair and said, I don't have an ear on that side. I said, I'm an asshole. Yeah. Like, oh, nice to meet you.
Before that, did you say, and your hearing sucks too?
No.
Ted, you know, I've known you a while. You've had a lot of jobs. I've never heard of Schnitzels before.
Schnitzels.
Schnitzels.
It was Schnitzels Cafeteria. Yeah, I actually
What is it? Is that at school? Up at school?
No. This was when I was like 15 years old, walking to the mall, and they had a cafeteria style restaurant.
Oh.
And I went
kinda
up
like
there.
Like a Sweden house.
It's exactly like the Sweden House. Mm-hmm. And I walked up there because it was like less than a quarter mile from my house. Middle of the summer, it was 90 degrees out, and I put on a wool suit to apply for this job. Because other than my paper route, it was like my first official, you know, applying for a job.
Right, right, right.
And because I wore a suit and everybody else wore their school clothes, when they opened up, they made me the line supervisor.
Wow.
They had to pick somebody, and I was the guy that showed up in a suit. So everybody fucking hated me, you know. You can't. Nobody's your friend if you're the supervisor.
No. Billy and I were just getting food on the way here, and there was a kid, young kid, being interviewed in a booth when I was ordering and stuff. And so then I went out back out to the car and sat down with Billy to wait for the order. And I'm like, that kid's being interviewed right there. And Billy's like, when you walk back in, you should say, hey, Jimmy, are you still cooking meth? Or, you know, you're out of...
Help him out.
When'd you get out of prison? Yeah. Good to see you, man. You know?
You're on parole again?
Yeah. They let you out?
Yeah. Jeez.
Damn it. How's the rape charge? Did you get off of that? Or
when
what?
Is the last time you interviewed for a job, Ron? Do you remember being interviewed for a job?
Well, it would have been before 1988, so that would have been, you know.
Wow.
And even before 88, I sold real estate from 82 to 88, and you don't really interview much there.
Yeah.
So it would have probably been before 82 even.
And Billy, so. you interview for jobs almost monthly.
Yes, 2 weeks ago I interviewed.
No, it's true. He really does, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always
job-getting guy.
Before I started doing comedy, one of the things I was the most proud of was the fact that I didn't have a lot of different jobs. I mean, I was with Bonefish Grills, part of Outback Steakhouse, and I've been with them for 20-something years.
Right.
Wow. So I was always proud of the fact that I don't have a lot of... But since I started doing comedy, I've had, like, probably 20-something jobs in the last 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
But you must be good at getting them, though. I mean, you must go through the interviews where you know what the questions are coming up and all that kind of stuff.
As long as they don't ask me, so why so many jobs?
Yeah. Is interviewing nervous, make you nervous, like comedy, like maybe a
what, the interview?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, because I go into every job with, I don't care if I get it or not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Every job I approach, I'm like, yeah, if I get it, I get it. If I don't,
right,
I don't.
Right, because they're not like careers. You're just looking for something to fill in between comedy.
It's something, something to help me keep doing comedy. Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I can't do, and I know there's people that do it. I mean, you guys obviously did it. Well, you were retired, Ted, but you have your own business, and like Hanson was an attorney, and I know other people that had careers and still managed to do comedy, but I couldn't do it.
Right.
Mainly because my only career was in restaurants, and restaurants, I have the busy times.
The hours are really bad.
Well, yeah. And the busy times are at night, and that's when comedy shows up, it was,
Real estate. Like bars, though, kind of flexible, that they kind of are more lenient about giving you time off?
Well, not when you're the manager. Oh. Not if it's a career, if I'm a general manager.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is if I'm a server or bartender, the busiest nights are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if I'm off doing comedy,
right?
Like, yeah, I can come in on a Monday and make $50, but I work in the weekend where you're going to make $200 or something.
I remember watching Billy Ray Bauer one time at One Night Stands, and he said that he hadn't been to a wedding in like 23 years. And I remember thinking, that just hit me right. I never thought, like, these guys don't get to go to anything. They're
right.
If you're a headliner that's touring all the time, you miss everything on the weekend. You know,
I wouldn't say that's missing. Like,
well, you know,
weddings are a pain.
You know what I mean?
You aren't available. I remember working second shift in the shop and working 6 days a week minimum, sometimes seven, but 6 days minimum, second shift,
you miss everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 3 to 12, something like that.
If they're working 8 hours, it starts at 2, you know, because they start at 6 and go to 2.
Oh.
But if they switch it to 10 hours, then you're starting
noon.
Then you're starting 2 hours later.
Oh, later.
Yeah.
Oh,
so now you're going in at 4.
4 and working till.
Yeah. If you're doing 12 hours, you're going in at 6 at night and getting out at 6 in the morning. And you're working all the weekends. And I remember, you know, and you're sleeping when other people are up. And then, you know, your wife wants to do something during normal hours. And if you aren't working, you're sleeping.
Right.
It's just a terrible way to live.
That's a bad system. Yeah.
You know what I realized recently was my first official job as a paperboy was interesting because it was 7 days a week, no excuses.
Yeah.
No days off.
No.
Not you're going to work during every holiday, Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, your birthday. No days off. And it was, you know, only probably 3 to 4 hours a day. But on the weekends, you had to work more because you had to collect.
Yeah.
But if you talk to anybody about starting a new job and say, look, you can have no days off.
Right.
At least for the first year and a half.
Yep.
What do you think? They'd say, no, but this is what 15-year-old boys used to do.
You were pumped to do it. I remember my paper route, too. I loved it.
And back when Ted was, when you were 15, Ted, it wasn't a paper boy. You were the town crier.
Yeah, so I stood on the corner.
Heary, extra.
A lot of times the horses didn't feel like getting up.
I hated those hats. They were so big.
I used to have to drive like about a mile to get my papers, too.
And then a mile back
because I had my own street. So I would drive a mile to get my papers and then a mile. What do you mean, why?
Why didn't they deliver them at your house?
They didn't deliver them. You had to go get them.
Well, didn't they drop them off someplace?
No, you had to go to the paper station, it was called, and you would wait in line to fill your bag.
Where the hell were you?
Then you had to fold them yourself if you wanted to fold them and put them in your pouches, you know?
You had to put stuffs in them. You had to stuff them.
Put the flyers in there. Yeah, it was a lot of work.
What city was this in?
Fraser.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lived about a mile and a half from my paper route because my buddy had the one I lived on, so I had to walk to that. But I had this guy that was very religious that said, you can use my garage and have them delivered in my garage. And you come down here in the wintertime and go in the garage to actually put your stuffs in and all that stuff. And so every day he let me go down to his house. Now,
did he say, like, feel free to take a bath in my garage if you want? You can change over here by this little teddy bear on the shelf.
Yeah. Here's a lollipop. He would actually come out and stuff them if I would read his religious pamphlets.
Oh, Jesus.
He was like a born-again Christian, and he wanted me to read these little cartoon things about burning in hell and being saved and stuff. Yeah. And I wasn't big on reading, but I'd look at the pictures while he stuffed the papers. Okay, can I deliver now?
Billy, you never had a paper route?
No, I never did a paper route. My dad worked for the newspaper, so he always brought home a paper. Yeah.
Well, you don't get a route because you need one.
Yeah.
You get a route to deliver to other people. It was just your house. Yeah, really small route.
I was saying that in reference to Ron saying he had to drive a mile to get a paper.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I never had that because my dad worked in the paper industry.
The only advantage to driving a mile to get my paper was the paper station was attached to a Dairy Queen. So you could go there and get a Blizzard or something if you were, you know, after. Yeah.
Now, did you have a hard time collecting money from your customers?
You know what, Billy? Ted. What's your name? Ted. I don't remember that, so I...
Ted. Ted talks too much. Welcome to the show, Ron Rigby.
I'm thinking they were okay, because I don't remember, like, having a problem collecting.
Do you remember how much the paper cost?
Nope.
They raised it up to 45 cents a week when I delivered papers.
Oh, when you delivered papers?
Yeah.
Oh, a week, though. That's a week. Yeah.
45 cents a week for seven papers. Yeah.
I was going
to
say.
And I had people like not wanting to pay. 65
cents, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't want to pay. These people were poor. It was dirt roads. Right. It was in Burton. It was just like.
My street was one of those, you know, it was a newer subdivision, but they were, you know, house. So I had like.
Oh, could you? Did you actually throw them?
No, I don't think I threw them.
I used to help in the city when I lived in Flint. And we would roll them and actually throw them from the sidewalk onto the porches. And that was kind of fun.
If you wrapped them tight enough, you were good at that. Yeah. But it was about from here to your back wall. Yeah. So it's at like 20, 30 yards.
Now, I wanted in the side door. I wanted between the storm and the regular door. I want to set up on this thing. And so you had to walk up each driveway. And where I lived, the driveways were long. So you're walking all the way up the driveway, putting in the door.
You didn't take a bike. You walked.
There was no sense taking a bike. You can do it on a bike.
Why not?
They do it in the movies on a bike.
Yeah, I was always on a bike.
Oh, I was never on a bike. The paper's too heavy to balance on a bike. You couldn't throw them on the bike.
Well, no, we had these.
Yeah, I would have had to park the bike, get off the bike, go walk up the steps, and put it in the door.
Well, yeah, but we had saddlebags like a Harley Davidson
did you park the bike in front of every house?
I'd pull up, jump off, throw it on there, jump on the bike, drive to the next one, you know?
Yeah, no. My dad came to help me one time. On Father's Day, for some reason, which was a holiday, so it was an early morning delivery, and he decided he was going to help me by putting the papers on the back of his station wagon, which means I had to run all the way out to the road in between every house instead of just cutting across the lawns. Took twice as long. Thanks, Dad.
I remember the weekend sucked because that was the early paper. Weekdays, you got the paper at like 3. Right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
In the afternoon. But the weekends, you had to have that paper.
Both Saturday and Sunday, or just Sunday?
I want to say it was
Sunday
days,
for me.
But I don't know. I don't remember.
Sunday was the heaviest. Thursday was second.
Sunday had all the flyers, right? All the sales flyers.
All that sales shit.
If anybody is listening to this podcast that is younger than the age of 40, they have no idea. They have no frame of reference of anything you guys are talking about.
There used to be something called a newspaper that you could have delivered to your house. I hope they do that with mailboxes soon. I hope they get rid of mailboxes.
Why?
So I don't have to fucking open all
the
mail.
Mail anything?
Well, it's ads. Why do I need a mailbox?
Oh, you mean on your house or to mail a letter?
On my house.
On your house?
Yeah, I don't want a mailbox. I think it's ridiculous that we have somebody in a little car that drives to every house in the country 6 days a week.
That'll probably go away within the next 50 years.
No, it's government.
50 years?
Government. Yeah, maybe, but it's government. Yeah. Government things don't go away. They got too many employees. But I think if once a week would be tons.
They'll probably keep like dropping it down.
I would be willing to pay the post office $50 a month not to deliver mail to me.
No, you dude, wouldn't.
Okay, pay me $50 a month. I'll come get your mail and throw it away.
You wouldn't do that. My mailbox is out the street, Ted, so I got to walk.
Well, so is mine.
Oh, yours is too? Yeah, that sucks. When I was a kid, it was right at the, open the door, it was right there.
There's nothing in it.
You know, I've been married 37 years. I've never once, and I'm not lying to you, you can ask my wife, I've never once gotten the mail. I've never looked at the mail, opened the mail, grabbed the mail.
Really?
I don't know what's in the mail. I have no idea. I don't know what our bills are. Nothing.
Have you ever looked in the female?
Yes, one time. I opened the envelope and looked in there, and it was scary. It was scary, Ted. No, but I did it at work. You know, I did all my bills at work, and I'm like, I'm not going home and doing bills. I didn't want to do it. And she likes it, so it worked out good. Yeah.
I hated that, too. At work, it was one of the things I dreaded because I couldn't do my work. I had to put aside 2 days to go through all the bills and all the accounts and then set aside the ones that I questioned that weren't quite right or the invoices looked wrong and call those people up and straighten things up. It was just a pain in the ass. It's and at work, it isn't like you got five bills.
No.
It's like you got 40.
A lot.
Yeah.
And you had to write checks too. I don't even know if they do that anymore. You know, do everybody still write checks?
There's people that still
do
it.
Because
even now with the company, that small company I have now, they just have my credit card. So when they bring stuff out, it just comes on my card. I never write a check anymore to anybody.
I went down to the county and I said, I don't like the way you bill me because it's not at the end of the month and all my bills except you for my water and sewer are at the end of the month.
When do they bill you? Middle?
They bill me on the first Thursday of the month and give you 14 days to pay it. But when I open my mail on the 22nd, I'm already late. So I'm paying that late fee every single time. And I said, just can't you realign it? And they said, no, this is the way it's done. And I think they just like getting all those late penalties fees, myself. Yeah. I think so. But we talked about automating the delivery of it. And they told me at the county that if I automate it and have like Morgan Stanley send the money out, Morgan Stanley actually mails them a check. And they've got to take a hard check down to the bank to deposit it. That's the way the county is doing it.
So you can't set up automatic withdrawal?
I can, but I have to realize it's going to take some time for them to receive the piece of paper and then go down to the bank with a piece of paper. And I thought, shit, I can Venmo my friends. You're the government.
What he's talking about is like bill pay for your bank. Your bank mails a check. Because you could set up, like I have a bill pay in my bank where I can set up, like I need this much to go here every month. And they'll write a check.
Oh, they write checks?
Yeah, they send out a check with your name.
They should transfer money, though. That's what they should be doing.
Well, that's what you're just, like what you're
talking about.
Fitness.
Automatic withdrawal.
Yeah, like Planet Fitness just automatically takes the money out.
Yeah, if we can Venmo each other, shouldn't the government be able to take some kind of automatic transfer instead of getting a piece of paper?
I mean, my IRS check comes direct deposit.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it all should go that way. Yeah,
and when that first started, I remember the first gym when I was in my 20s, and the gym membership's like, well, you give us your bank account information. And I'm like, I'm not giving you my bank account information. Yeah. They're like, well, we just take it out. Right. To me, that was like the craziest thing. Like, you're just going to have access to my bank account? Yep. You're not getting that $7.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're talking about. Okay, that joke felt flat.
Yeah. I did have a bad experience.
Was that a joke?
Yeah. No, obviously. Apparently not, Ted. I thought it was when I was telling it.
Raise your hand. We'll laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because no one laughed doesn't mean it's not a joke. Yeah.
When I mean to say something funny, I'll put my hand up.
And we'll start laughing.
You have an applause sign or a laugh sign that I could hold up?
That's what I could do you, Billy. Or Ted, I could do you an applause sign somewhere in here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Recording. That's it.
Yeah.
Billy, do that joke again. Do that bit again.
We're ready for it.
It'll hit hard the second time.
Yeah, you're not getting access to my $7.
My first automatic pay was something called paymybills.com.
You fucker. Oh.
No. And I had all my bills sent to New Jersey or someplace.
Yeah.
They would actually open the envelopes.
Jeez.
And they would actually pay the bills for me.
that's
it was a very weird thing. Yeah.
That doesn't seem efficient, does
no.
it?
No, but it was the first automated way to get things paid, so I didn't have to worry about the bills at home because I was already doing all the bills at work, like you were, and I didn't want to deal with it.
That sounds like a fish company that I heard of in Seattle, Washington, that catches whitefish by the thousands, and they send all the fish to China. They fillet it and then send it all back, and they sell it in Washington.
Is that a true story?
See, Billy, that's how you tell a fucking joke, right there.
See, that's how much of an idiot I am sometimes. I'm like, well, that just sounds crazy.
No, that was the truth, Joey. That was a true story. That was not a joke.
You know, when I first started doing comedy, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Tom McCarthy. I don't remember who it was. We were at Ridley's at the open mic, and he was closing out the show. Or he was the second to last. But he did a joke on stage about how he just signed a deal with HBO. And it was a Canadian.
I remember that joke. Yeah.
I remember that joke.
Yeah. He's like, I just signed a deal, and after the show, I'm like, hey, dude, congratulations on HBO. That's awesome. And he's just, and he's staring at me, and he goes, that was a joke. I didn't. And I'm like, yeah, I'm an idiot. Don't mind me.
You didn't listen to the punchline very well. You heard the setup. Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's like,
they're going to install it next week or something.
That was when, like, I just started doing comedy, and that's when I thought, like, everything you said had to have some element of truth to it. Yeah. Like, mostly truth, you know?
Yeah.
That's when I realized, okay, so that doesn't have to be
that rolled behind truth. The door.
Oh.
Charlie's going to have a hard time.
I'll get it for him.
All right. Thanks, Billy.
I interrupted Billy's story by throwing a treat to the dog. And it does. The whole show goes fell to behind hell. The door.
But no, you've heard Bouchard's joke he just did about, you know, his wife's a model.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got her modeling thing coming up. She's going to be the leg on a vein commercial.
Yeah, but at least you listen to the punchline.
Yeah.
If you don't, you're congratulating him after the show like Billy does.
Billy probably said, Bill, your wife must be hot. She's a model, eh?
And
didn't hear the leg
part.
And
you got that new acting job out in front of...
Oh, yeah. But Liberty Tax Service or something like that? Yeah.
Congratulations.
Billy only listens to setups.
Yeah, I just listen to the setup and I don't get the punchline.
Congratulate people.
Me, Bill, and we were at the Holly Hotel. Me, Bill, and his wife were talking about people taking jokes seriously.
Yeah.
Like that. And we were going through that, and she made the comment. She goes, yeah, like, I really don't have varicose veins.
Right. She has to show everybody after the show.
I told her, I was like, is this why you never wear shorts? Right.
I have friends of mine that say that to me, like when I have a joke about my wife smoking a lot of weed and you know, she's stoned all the time, and they'll come up to me after the show and go, I didn't know Lisa smoked that much pot.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, she doesn't.
Joel told me that people believe what you say, and I tried to quit telling my jokes about taking Viagra. I've never taken Viagra, and I don't. Right. And I think, God, that's what, after the show, that's what people are thinking. I'm Mr. Limp Dick over here. Yeah. Well, you should educate him up front and say, all this is bullshit, by the way. This is just something to say.
Well, I don't think it'll go over as well if you do that. I think it goes over.
Yeah. You know what? I had a headliner tell me once. I said something. I can't remember what joke I did, but I said, that's a true story. And he said, don't ever say that. He goes, because that's like implying everything else you've said is
a lie or
bullshit or a lie. Yeah. So he's like, so don't ever say that. Just say the joke. And
yeah.
You know, if people want to believe it, they believe it. And if they don't, they don't.
I started writing a new joke about a conversation I had with my parents, and it's a true story. Back in the 1950s, asking my parents if I was going to grow up to be colored. Now, do I have to say it's a true story? So, and that happened in the 50s to get away with saying colored? Or do I just say it?
Just say it.
Just stand up there and assume that they'll know I'm old enough for that word to have been appropriate at the time, do you think?
Yeah, and plan on... You know, moving your car fast after the show.
Are you planning on hosting the Oscars anytime soon? If you're not, then I'd go ahead and tell it.
Yeah, it'll be my last time. I don't give a shit.
It won't matter.
So we were just out to a comedy show together, and that was kind of interesting. What did you guys think about that?
It was great to see comedy coming back. I mean,
yeah, I thought
during
it was
this
fun.
Pandemic, yeah.
It was fun. Even though the crowd was limited, it was still fun, man. It was just that the fun factor's still there, at least for me. I don't know, you guys probably too, but it's always fun when it's packed, but it was still fun even with 80 people, 50, 60, whatever it was still fun.
I thought it was a tough crowd Thursday, but you went back Saturday. Billy and I went back Friday. Yeah. Friday, the crowd was
great.
Same thing Saturday. They were great.
They're ready to laugh, man. Yep. They were glad to be out anywhere, I think.
Yeah, Thursday's always tough. I mean, in the middle of no pandemic, Thursdays are a little bit tough.
Yeah, that's true.
But Friday, you were there. It was great. Saturday, I was there. It was great. You know, good.
We had a lot of fun.
People were ready to crack up, and they were laughing hard, man.
I thought the comedians were a little bit rusty.
Yeah,
really good comedians.
Yeah, but you know what? We noticed that. No, I didn't let anybody else know. Comics did, but because we've seen them all so many times.
But did you have the hiccups there, Ryan?
No, I just had too much pizza.
Ron has issues, I think.
Sorry. I forget you can hear everything on these mics. Sorry. <Yeah. laughs>
We did bring pizza. You did bring pizza with you. That was kind of nice. I appreciate that.
Well,
and we had tater tots that we put on it for Billy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's his fave.
Yeah. I still think about the time after one night stands about in October when you were there and Billy and Sal and me, and we all went out to eat afterwards.
Yeah.
We all shared a big portion of everything.
Tater tots.
Yeah. We're all eating up, and you get COVID and none of us do.
Yeah.
That was so weird, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're sharing food, basically. We're at a table, the four of us.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
Then two, yeah, but
I went to the bathroom by myself.
At that restaurant?
Yeah. You see that waitress that was out there?
Yeah, I did see her. Right. Oh, yeah. She came back, and it looked like
is that where I got the clap from, too? Is that why I got the clap, also?
No, I don't think I got it at the restaurant. I think I got it at the bar.
At the bar, maybe. But yeah. I was at the bar, too. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's so weird. I sat with you at the show for a while. You know, it's like we were, it's so strange.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I already had it, so I think that's probably
that was
and I thought the antibody is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that contagious myself.
Maybe not. What? Even that. The weird part
Billy's
about
Billy's eyes
it,
just got big.
It's not even the contagious part.
What the fuck, Rotor? We?
It's the part that when you and I could both get it and we'd get it differently. That's the part that's so weird, you know?
What, it affected you differently than me?
It may. That's what I'm saying. It may. Right. You know? If you and I get the flu, we're going to call each other for 10 days going, are you still puking? Yeah, me too. But if you and I get COVID, we're like, how are you doing? I'm fine. How are you? I'm not fine. Well, you know, it's so weird.
Marv Barnett.
Yeah, Marv.
Got it terrible, but Marv. The rest of his family got it.
And we're.
I thought his family didn't get it.
No, his whole family got it except his wife, who didn't get it at all and she doesn't even test for the immunity to it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they're sleeping in the same bed. She didn't get it at all. And the kids got it, but they got a much milder case. And Marv got it to the point where his kidneys were shutting down and he has to go to dialysis now.
That's, you know what? That's what my girlfriend said to me when I got crabs. And I told her that she needs to get herself tested because we've been together every night.
See,
for the last, and she told me, no, she's like, I don't have it. And I think she thought I was going to blame her for giving it to me.
Right.
But I'm like, it doesn't matter who gave it to who.
No.
Because we should have it. How do you not? And then I'm like, how bad is your pussy? That it's like killing the crabs. Like, it's just immune to it.
They're going in, but they aren't coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Either some kind of roach motel vagina you got going on there. Like, Jesus.
That was a left turn.
I know.
Yeah. Well, that's comedy, Ron. How was that joke?
Yeah.
I didn't even get the applause break.
Well, you know what? I was actually going to hit the laugh thing. As soon as you said my girlfriend, I thought, this has got to be a lie.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Billy didn't say this is a true story. And you know it's not.
I know. When it starts with Billy and my girlfriend, I thought, how far back are we going?
Yeah. Was this in junior high?
Was this before your paper route?
So you guys used to hold hands or something? So she was your girl?
Oh, shit.
Catching crabs by the sea. Down by the lobster boats.
How old were you with your first girlfriend?
Does that mean the first girl I asked out on the date and I actually met her someplace and felt like I liked her?
No, the first girl that you said, this is my girlfriend, we're like together now.
Seventh grade,
Billy?
Yeah.
I have to think about that. Like maybe ninth grade. There was a girl before in Chicago who we were kind of like when I left and moved to Texas, we both promised each other we wouldn't see anybody else.
That and was ninth.
Are you going to close that, your no, eyes that a was lot in, or what?
I mean,
what?
That was in, no, that was, I was in Chicago. I was in fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we moved to Texas, and when I left, she promised she wouldn't see anybody, and I promised I wouldn't see anybody, and I told it to my dad, and my dad's like, don't be stupid. He goes, first off, you're like 11 years old or whatever. Like, second, you're 1,200 miles away from her. And this is before Facebook, and there's no communication. So I helped.
He said, my son is now gay, I guess. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to become a priest. You're going to bless little boys is what you're going to. That's what I see in your future.
Okay. All right, you went really kind of dark there with the molesting. I could handle the being the called gay. Yeah, but
he's no damn molester.
Let's put a disclaimer at the beginning of your podcast. Billy Reno is not known to be or ever to have done.
Mine was sixth grade, and the only reason I remember is because I barely knew the girl.
Yeah.
And she told someone else that we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh.
And I'm like, which girl is it? And she's like, that one over there. I'm like, damn, I didn't even know, you know? So it stuck in my head. And I remember going up to her. I'm like, are we boyfriend and girlfriend? She's like, yeah, we, and I'm like, didn't even know it.
For some reason.
Is that how you got married?
Yeah. So we've been together ever since.
For some reason, I got the feeling that when you were a man and you were growing up, you were supposed to have one of those black address books with all these girls'
all
phone numbers in them.
There,
a little black book kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember going over to this girl's house that was not attractive at all and thinking, you got to start somewhere. And I was in like fourth grade or fifth grade, and I went over there and I thought, I don't even like this ugly girl. Why am I here? But in first grade is the first time I ever invited a girl to do something with me because I liked her. She was Bethany Fight. She was super cute, and I invited her to go ice skating. Well, I didn't ask my parents or anybody, and she said, well, where do you want to skate at? And I told her over here, and she came up there with her skates, and I went up with my skates, and we skated. And it happened to be on a sidewalk, which was broken, and it was it flooded. There was a water spot on it. But I noticed walking to school, here's this huge, you know, it was probably 20 feet by 10 feet. I thought, oh, I could skate here. And so I met her on a date when I was like in first grade or something. We ice skated together.
I kissed a girl on the cheek in like second or third grade. We were walking home from school.
Her left one and, or her right one?
It would have been her right. Yeah, but not down there. Not those cheeks. But she hit me with her lunchbox. One of those little metal aluminum lunchbox. Yeah. She just turned around and smacked. Yeah, Kelly Rogus. It was we were friends with this family, the Roguses. There was you know, they had kids all the age of me and my brothers, so we were all paired together, up with friends. Yeah. She was the younger sister. She was like a year younger than me, but you know, I kind of had a crush on her. She did have a crush on me, but I guess I just, she was a me too. I'm a me too because I leaned over and kissed her on the cheek as we were walking home.
When I was in third grade, my third grade teacher, I was doing something she didn't like, and she said to me, Ron, if you do that again, I'm going to kiss you. And I did it again, and she walked over and kissed me on the cheek, and I said to her, you don't have any sex appeal. And the reason I said that... The reason I said that because there was a commercial with toothpaste, and it was the big line was, this toothpaste gives you sex appeal. And I remember my parents would react to that word, so I knew it had something to do with
kissing
or something.
Or whatever,
you know? So I remember
romance.
I remember her telling my mom that at like parenting teacher conferences.
Didn't she go home and commit suicide?
Mrs. She's like, Shepherd. Jesus. No, she laughed when I said it. She laughed, and no one else in the class knew what the hell.
I remember playing doctor with the girls in the neighborhood when I was, you know, it was before third grade. It was first, second grade sort of thing. And I remember I wanted to stay up late one night and watch TV, and my parents wouldn't let me stay up. And I wasn't sleeping.
Said, but I'm a doctor.
I got to study.
Yeah, I'm on call.
Yeah. I can't go to bed now.
But I remember I had to come up with an excuse, so I was acting like I was really upset. And then, why are you so upset? Because being upset was keeping me up. And I had to confess to something. So I confessed that I was convincing the girls in the neighborhood to get naked and let me look at them or whatever. And they didn't seem to mind that. I thought that's kind of weird. I was expecting to get in trouble. And they were no, we're good with that. Wow. Like, what the hell? All right. Wow.
Maybe because you were doing it with girls and not guys. And they were like,
I think they would have been good with either.
Maybe,
Explore, Ted.
Cough.
No, turn your head this way.
Yeah.
I always wondered why.
This is weird that you wanted to talk about this.
Actually. I always wondered why the doctor made you turn your head, didn't you? And then I realized because he doesn't want you coughing in his face.
No, it's because he doesn't want to make eye contact with you while he's holding your balls in his hand. I'd be worried about the doctor. Goes, now look at me. Look at me.
Look up at me.
At me.
I wonder if they still do that to check for a hernia. If they still,
I don't know.
They do, but they do it very quickly. Because I had to get physicals for the DOT exam.
Really?
Yeah.
So, are you saying when you were younger, they did it for a long time? It lingered?
No, this was just last year. They just go down and feel real quick, and then they take their hand
out. You don't have to cough?
No.
Oh.
No. They just go down and feel real quick. Yeah. Which I always think, what does that have to do with driving?
Yeah.
Well, isn't it? You're supposed to be able to tell if somebody has a rupture.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what that means, quite frankly.
No, I have a hernia rupture right now.
In your balls?
No, in my stomach. Yes. I have an abdominal hernia.
Yeah, I have a little one too, just a little teeny one.
little teeny one. Well, mine here.
Okay. Size of a quarter. No, I don't need to say.
We're gonna measure. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, and then look at this on my penis.
That little teeny one.
Yeah. You mean the penis you can't see?
Yeah, get the magnifying glasses.
I always think it's weird too that to check your prostate, they stick the finger up your ass. Like there's nothing newer than that to do.
Yeah, that's as far as medicine is advanced.
Yeah. Like when you have a sore throat, do they stick their finger in your? No.
No.
But.
Well, you'd rather have them look up your ass?
There's not a, no, like a tool. Maybe a tool they could use, you know?
I don't want tools stuck up my ass.
Maybe it's a smaller tool than a finger.
I actually requested that on my last physical with my doctor because I had not
a
had
prostate
my prostate
exam. Yeah,
exam, and she didn't do it.
She wouldn't do it?
She passed.
Wow.
Well, she didn't do it, and I didn't ask for it once I got there. I thought, yeah.
Wait, you requested for her to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame her for not doing that. She's like, this guy's here to check
before you leave.
This guy, I'm an ear doctor.
The only thing I want is a finger up my ass.
I'm an ear doctor. What's he want?
Said I'm a dentist. Yeah.
What does this have to do with getting glasses? I want to get my eyes checked and my prostate. Yeah.
I heard that like you can have an amazing orgasm if they work your prostate right. Do you ever have anybody try that?
No, but I remember one time having an orgasm and releasing gas at the same time.
I don't think that's what I was talking just, about.
It's in the same area.
Just loosened up. And it was,
that's not at all what I was referring to.
No, it's great, dude.
It's a mood killer, though. I think. You know. It's not as good as your 69ing either. You don't want to do it.
That girl was sitting around with her girlfriends, and they were talking about how they don't like the way cum tastes. And they're like, and she was like, the smell. It's not the taste. The smell.
Oh, God. You can edit a lot of this, right?
I think a man's penis is the cleanest part of a man's body. Because every time I've been in a gang shower in high school or for sports or whatever, they're in the guy that doesn't immediately take that soap and start sudsing up his groin area.
Yeah.
And then he washes the rest of his body with dick soap. They go from the dick to the face,
yeah,
the dick
there.
To the arms, dick.
You start there.
Yeah,
then you jam the bar up your asshole, then you wash your face.
That's right. Yeah. And then if you watch him dry off, men are always rubbing the towel on their dick.
That's because dick is the cleanest thing on a man's body. When you're in the shower, you want to fluff it a little bit.
I've never considered it a gang shower. Like, yeah. Like it's
what
are
you going
to do today, gang?
When he said the first time I was in a gang, I'm like, where is this going, man?
What do you call it when it was one big shower room with a bunch of heads?
Just shower. No, I'm going to the shower. I'm going to go take a shower. I didn't call it like a gang shower. It wasn't.
Well, there's no bang in the gang.
I hope not. Like
gang shower style. Is that a song? Yeah.
Oh, God. This is terrible content.
The racquetball club I used to go to and that I worked at a little bit in high school, their shower was gang shower style, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the one maintenance guy was a really weird guy, but he would come stand right next to you, fully clothed, and he would just be having a conversation. He would be talking to you. And it's like, dude, do you mind? And
yeah.
You know, like, first off, I'm 16.
I'm
second,
naked. Yeah.
Yeah. Second, yeah, I'm sitting here trying to shower.
Do you remember the guys that come up and talk to you while you're sitting on the bench putting your shoes on naked and they'd put a foot up on the bench? Like, what the fuck? That's way too much information.
That's why I stop. When I go to the gym, I don't go to the locker room unless I got to use the bathroom or something, but I don't change clothes. Well, I go there in my gym clothes and I leave in my gym clothes.
I was talking with a friend about that. Like, we all used to shower, like at Bally's over the year. We all would shower and walk around naked. Well, now I'm like, why don't they do that anymore? He goes, camera phones, man. Nobody wants to get naked with all the people in their camera phones. It could be sitting there and you don't even know it. And, you know, so all the showers now at Planet Fitness, they have like areas where you can dry off that nobody can see
right,
you.
Right, right. Yeah. Billy and I use those when we're on tour a lot.
So it's not a gang style anymore because somebody could be just foaming away.
Well, gang style.
My shower at my house is gang style.
So is that what we're
doing after the show?
I remember we did it.
Yeah, I remember. We did that one episode. That's
We all did, and we showered.
Yeah. Ted told me he's starting a new shower podcast.
That would be good.
This is awkward, Ted.
Yeah. It's a naked podcast. You got to sit in a box, just your face comes out to talk into a mic.
I never liked showering in gym class in high school or, you know, junior high or whatever.
Yeah.
I never felt that I worked hard enough to, like, have to shower. And it was always like, well, that's part of gym. You have to learn how to shower with other guys and this and that. I always thought, yeah, but I'm not sweating. I threw a basketball. I don't need to shower.
I showered after every gym class, and I hated when I had gym first class in the morning because I never brought my towel home all year.
So you use the same towel?
Yeah, it would get like stiff. After about a month, it gets stiff.
Oh, yeah.
And it smells.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming to school clean. Yeah, I'm coming to school clean, and then I'm going to gym getting all wet and wiping mold all over my body for the rest of the day in school.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't that popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never liked I remember after a football practice once, the coach, I went into the coach's office to ask a question. And he answered, and he goes, all right. He goes, hit the showers and go. And I'm like, I'm going to shower when I get home. He goes, nope, everybody showers before they go home. And I was like, I don't like, because it was a gang. It was a gang style show. And I just I don't.
Well, I told you about the YMCA, didn't I?
Probably. I told Ted much. He asked me once, we were talking on the phone, and he said, did I ever tell you the story? And I said, probably, Ted. I said, your stories are like my Boy Scout child molestation. I blocked a lot of it out.
But I've probably heard it.
Well, we spent 3 months every day, all day, in a small RV. So he's probably heard everything.
Is that when you guys were cooking meth?
Yeah. He probably forgotten it on purpose. But down at the YMCA in Flint, first time I ever went, my buddy moved out of Flint, and his parents bought a boarding house downtown. And there was nothing to do downtown Flint. I mean, there was no kids, no playgrounds, no nothing. But there was the YMCA, and you could shoot pool, play on the trampolines. They had a gym. But they also had a pool, a swimming pool. And that was a huge deal. So we went down there. And he said, hey, you want to go swimming at the Y? I'm going, hell yeah. So I went down there and brought my suit. We got down there. And he said, no, we don't wear suits. I said, are you kidding?
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. He said, no, nobody wears suits. And swear to God, not one of those kids brought a suit or wore a suit. We had to go. We had to take a shower before we got in the pool.
Yep.
And the
guys considered suits dirty back then, and they would dirty up the water, so they wanted you naked, showered, cleaned, and naked.
I don't know if that was the theory behind it, but at our pool, before you got in, you had to take a shower, and then before you got in the pool area, there was two young inspectors. Men employees that made you bend over and pull your cheeks apart to look at you before you got in the pool, and then they would send some people back to the shower again.
That's...
Young men, you don't have to feel down.
He failed. He needs to go back. Yes. No, my dad swam for years at high school, and he goes, we always swam naked. They put a divider down the pool all the way to the ground, and the women swam on one side, and they swam on the other.
Did the women swim naked?
No, my mom was there. She goes, we didn't swim naked, but the men did, so they had to put the divider up, but they all swam naked. Yeah.
So, like, the girls' bathing suits clean, and the guys...
Well, girls have different setups than we do, so they wanted them clothed, apparently. I don't know.
Setups?
Yeah.
I didn't know they had setups.
I'm not going to elaborate.
I will send you a dick pic if you send me your setup.
Setup. Do women send those kind of pics or just dick pics?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure there's some women that do.
Oh, no. They definitely send
them. They do?
Yeah.
What do they call them?
Pussy pic?
They call them, hey, look at this.
Yeah. They don't have to call them anything because they know we're looking.
You know what? Yeah. First time I got one of those, because I have received those, I didn't even know how to respond via text. What do you say? Wow.
What was it a picture of, Ted?
Well, it starts out on the top.
Oh, okay.
But it eventually goes to whatever.
Wow.
I know. And the person I was talking to was a lawyer, very attractive girl living in, I think she was in Wisconsin.
As long as you don't show your face, no one will never know.
They can never pin
it to you.
But the bad thing is they want a picture in return.
Yeah.
And I don't even,
you should have a stock photo.
I have a hard enough time doing a selfie of my face.
You should have a stock photo.
I don't know what my good angle is.
Just have a stock photo of somebody else and send it, because they won't know.
Well, hold on, you and I discussed this.
Yeah.
I think I sent
you one of me.
No, but I received those.
Derek Richards does a joke about that. About
does he?
He Googled, and he was sending pictures of crickets. You didn't know crickets have dicks? Yeah. He does a whole joke series about that.
Wow.
Which, sorry, Ted. I ruined Ted. When we were on our road trip, every time Ted came up with a premise for a joke, I'm like, who does a joke about that?
God, yeah.
That's
everything's covered. I mean, if you watch enough comedy like Billy does, and some people do, you'll hear everything eventually, you know, every joke, you know, about your prostate, but about your girlfriend.
Well, Ted's point is, you know, when you say that, I don't even, if I start writing, I could branch off and I might branch off and think of other things and write different jokes.
Right. That
And, but when I, as soon as I say that, he just doesn't.
Stops.
Yeah, I'm well. No.
I'm not going to go down that road. I'm sure it's been done better than I can
do. The reason Ted Moss does not do comedy anymore
is I have nothing to say.
Because of me. Every time he brought something up, I shot him down. I was like, nope, somebody did that.
I was watching, my wife and I blew through all 5 seasons of Breaking Bad this month. Or like,
oh, such a great show.
And I never knew Bill Burr was on that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, Bill Burr's on.
Oh, you got to always. I mean, if you're bored and want to watch something, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic. Man,
I've been watching Below Deck. That's what? Where my head is.
What's that?
Below, it's one of those. It's like Housewives of New York kind of thing.
Oh, never
it's
heard
Below
of it.
It's about these people that work on cruise ships and all this inner drama between the people working on the ship, but. I keep thinking I'm going to buy a big boat, so I like watching all the boat stuff, you know what I mean? So, and, you know, the girls are cute, and the drama is silly, and I find it entertaining, so.
I remember when you were going to go buy a yacht type
I still
boat.
Want to, you know what?
A little houseboat?
The thing, I would like to have a large boat as a cottage. Instead of that money, you would invest to have a lake house, a cottage up north or something like that. You know, and I don't know what that costs, $200,000, $300,000. Invest that in a boat, and then the boat can go to whatever slip wherever, so you have some flexibility. Also, I really enjoyed my time driving the RV just easily down roads I had never been down before. And I think taking the boat up and down the coast would be fun. I've had a lot of boats, and you have a boat on a lake, you go out, you go around the circle, and you come back home. Go out, go around the circle twice, come back home. You know, I mean, that's all you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, but if you got on a boat and you could actually travel the coast of the United States or have a destination, someplace you haven't been to or some islands to go to, I think that'd be a lot of fun. And I'm not a guy who's in a hurry. You know what I mean? I don't mind just cruising.
Yeah, but what style of boat are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about a 47-foot Grand Banks trawler.
So not a houseboat.
Well, no, not what you would. It's not, not no, a it's typical not a pontoon houseboat. Boat with
right.
a house on it.
Right, right.
No,
it's you want to go out in open water. You can't have a houseboat. You got to have a pretty well, good.
I want to go up down the intercoastal, Ron, which is part of the ocean.
Yeah, but no, you said going to islands and stuff like that. That's you know, that's a little more like you got to go out in the ocean.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really, I would probably stay near the coast because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
But they got a cool thing now, and they call it Skyhook. And if you haven't ever operated a large boat that has two props, so you got to do the two props. Yeah. And sometimes you have forward thrusters and getting in and out of the
twin screws.
Yes. Well, prop screws. Yeah. So getting in and out of the harbor and docking is the hardest part, especially, you know, you have the wind pushing one way and the waves pushing another way. And you're trying to. Well, now they have this thing called Skyhook. And if you hit the Skyhook button by GPS, your boat keeps the position it's in. It even keeps the heading. It keeps the nose exactly. So it doesn't move at all. Doesn't matter what the waves do. Doesn't matter what the wind does.
So it's autopilot-like for
it's
your
autopilot. Stay in this position.
Right.
And then once it's in that position, it has like a joystick. So if you want it to move
just
to the
sideways
left.
Sideways with it,
You tap it to the left and it moves to the left. If you want the nose to go 1 degree to the left or 5 degrees, you just click it 5 times and it goes 5 degrees to the left. So it's a lot easier for people that are learning to operate boats, because that's the hardest part.
That's like the new cars that'll parallel park, similar to that.
Yes, it's like that. Well, the hardest part of a boat, besides being able to maintain it and fix things that break down on it, and if you go close to shore, at least you aren't out so far, you can't be rescued.
Yeah.
So is getting it in and out of the docks.
Yeah. I hit a guy one time.
In a boat?
Yeah.
A big boat?
He was in like a Donzi, like a... 40
That's a go fast boat.
Yeah. And I was in like my dad's, it was like a 28-foot Sea Ray. And all I'm doing is I'm parking and he's right next to me.
Ugh.
And I had the motor off in the slip and it just kind of went like this and rubbed into his boat and he went insane.
Oh, I bet he did.
We almost fist fought.
You know,
that was how
bad
it
was. Yeah, he probably had a $100,000 boat there.
Yeah. And it's like nothing wrong with it. All you had to do was this.
Yeah.
And he stood there watching me. He could have just gone like that.
Ron's putting his foot on the desk.
Yeah, sorry. You can stop someone's boat with your foot very easily. And he just thought he was too good for that. And I'm like, then you're going to just watch it hit your boat then. I mean, if that's what you're going to do.
See, us three live very different lives. Like when I wanted to move my boat 2 degrees to the left, I just used the right oar.
Or what? The right
the
oar.
The right oar going backwards and the left one going forward.
Well, I've never had a boat. It was my dad's boat, so I've never had one.
But my thought is, if I was to date somebody that had a house and we got serious where we wanted to go to one house, we sell one house, and then we take that money, invest that in a boat, then you have a place to go in the wintertime. And we can go to, you know, Miami or the Keys or whatever and dock it there. And I think it'd be a nice vacation thing. But it's expensive to own boats. Shit always
not only
breaks
that,
down on boats.
Not only that, Ted. What happens when you're in a city and you want to go somewhere? You're going to have a car on your boat?
Oh, you can rent cars or you can Uber. There's a lot of ways.
I guess you could have a moped, too, would be all right. You know,
anymore they have those bikes sitting around. You can just hop on a bike and put your credit card in.
You can make a jet ski with wheels. And then you can just take the jet ski like a motorcycle.
What about a motor home? Have you ever thought of that? Like,
well, I have one of those.
No, but I mean like a 45-footer that you would, you know.
Oh, mine's too small.
Live in. You wouldn't want to live in yours.
I lived in it for 3 months.
I know.
I'm only looking for a place to vacation in, Ron.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I think the problem with that is that...
Because you could go up and down the coast in a beautiful RV, too. You know, you're not in the water.
You know what? My opinion, and it doesn't mean I'm right, but my opinion is these RVs that they're selling for $200,000, $300,000 are pieces of shit.
And then 3 years, they're worth $50,000.
You know, they're pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, the construction of my RV, and it cost quite a bit for what it is.
Yeah.
And I bought it used. Everything's chintzy. It's like it's the worst constructed mobile home you could ever imagine being in. Everything that comes apart is thin. Paneling.
I watch those RV shows where the people buy them, and it's all garbage. It looks like garbage. Yeah.
And actually, if you go to rebuild things, because I actually redid some of the heating things, and they have all kinds of space that isn't used properly.
Really?
There's a few things on the front, like the front of our cabinets were really thick and heavy, and it made it feel like it was good. But once you really get into it, you know, the furniture's chintzy and it's delaminating and it's
a lot of laminating. Yeah.
It's just junk. Yeah. So I'm not thrilled with those.
But aren't boats the same way?
Well, I don't think so. Grand Banks is like the Cadillac of trawlers. Trawlers are a fishing boat. They're like the one on Jaws.
Yeah.
And they're wide, so you can get them where they're like 12, 14 feet wide, so it's very livable. But also, I kind of like... an adventure is like doing stand-up. Like before you did stand-up, you didn't know how good you're going to be.
Right.
But boating, I don't know that much about it. I mean, I used to have boats and race small sailboats and that stuff. But to have a big boat, it would be a whole new learning process. And I'm convinced at this point, when you get retired and you have time, it's not fun to do something you know how to do. You need something where you feel like you're learning something, you have a skill to learn, and it's being in the process of progressing through the learning that is the exciting thing about life. So,
well, the other thing is, that would you do that alone? Or
No. That's why I say I'd have to be dating somebody. I need somebody to throw the ropes. I wouldn't want to be on a boat all by myself all the time. You know, and actually, I think when you're on the boat for 3 or 4 months, you're going to want to get off and get a room occasionally, just be on land. And when a storm comes up, because there's going to be big storms, you might want to get off. Might want to park it at some dock and get off, go spend a weekend in the motel. And even when Billy and I were in the RV, we got out a couple times. We stayed at some cabins that were nice up in the mountains. And I think we stayed at another hotel sometime. And, you know, just once in a while.
Yeah. Oh,
just get out of this little tin
can. Yeah, you want to go to a nice dinner or something like that. Get out of there.
But the experience of, you know, I always liked the motorcycle. And the motorcycle took me down roads I would never go down.
Yeah.
Because I went down the two lanes. In my car, I'm in the expressway and I got cruise control on.
Yeah.
The motorcycle, I'm taking these windy roads. I'm not really trying to get there. I'm enjoying the experience of going.
You pay a lot more attention when you're on a motorcycle, too.
Well, in the senses, you're smelling things, you're seeing things. Hey, let's stop in this little pub. Where the hell are we? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that aspect of us being on the road doing stand-up comedy as much as anything. Just having your arm out the window, cruising through the desert, looking for the next town, coming around the corner and finding
out. I love it if there's no agenda. I don't want to have to be, I have to be here in 3 days or I'm going to lose something.
Well, that was, we had 3 months of that.
Yeah, we pretty much decided before we left that we weren't going to have an agenda. That we had, if there was a place and we wanted to stay, we'd stay. And if we wanted to go, we'd go.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't try setting up shows ahead of time. I think there's only maybe one or two that we set up way ahead of time. But usually it was, okay, tomorrow we should hit, you know, whatever, Little Rock, Arkansas. And then I would just start Googling on Facebook all the open mics or whatever that were in all the shows that we could get on there.
I think the only destination we had is we said, as long as we're going to be close, let's spend New Year's Eve at Key West.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think we had anything. We're like, do you want to stay in this town another day? And sometimes I was looking at real estate and apartments and stuff. So
we'd
stay
next day. Do you guys remember where you stayed the longest, like that you liked the most that you stayed? You're like, we want to stay here another day or two.
Because we were like 3 days in Knoxville. No?
I don't know if it was Knoxville or we stayed the weekend at my aunt's cabin in the mountains in Prescott.
We were 3 or 4 days in Key West, too.
I think it probably was Key West because we were 3 or 4 days in Key West.
That'd be the place to stay, yeah. I mean, because it was wintertime, too, right?
I love the vibe of Key West, just that laid back. It's a little
Man. It's like,
I don't want to say liberal, but it's a little too, like,
casual.
I walked by the nude bar, and there's this 80-year-old guy sitting there in the patio thing with they got the garage doors up or whatever, and he's just butt naked.
There was a nude bar, really?
Yeah, there's a nude bar in Key West where you can go in completely nude. And everyone was telling me, you got to go check out that bar. And I walked by and saw him from the thing, and I'm like, yep, that's checking it out enough for me. I don't need to go in there.
You're jacked.
The thing with nudists are...
Did he sit on a big thing of gum? Oh, no, that's his nut.
Yeah, the thing about nudists are the people that are nudists have no business being nude.
Yeah, that's the ones that are there.
It's always those. It's not like in the movie. It's not going to be
The ugly people are there looking to hope to, ugly guys are there looking, hoping to see some hot naked broad. That's what it is.
And they're not gonna.
No, they're not gonna.
Nope.
No way. Hotties don't go take their clothes off at bars.
Yeah.
My uncle, who was very liberal, had and he hitchhiked around the country. He was really kind of a cool guy. Uncle Bill, he's also a little different, but his theory about Key West was that the really odd people that don't fit in anywhere, homeless kind of people, just keep going south to get to warmer weather. And they get to Key West and they run out of land.
There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, there they are.
That's
All right. Well,
it is the southernmost point.
I can't go any further.
I always thought if I was homeless, the only thing I would do is make enough money here to get my ass down. You know, down south somewhere.
Yeah.
I'd get enough money on the corner of, you know, whatever, Woodward and something, where I had bus fare to get down to Florida, where, why would you want to be like that in the cold?
I know. Why are all those Mexican people walking north? I mean, what is up with that?
Well, they don't go that far north, but I'm saying, I just feel for these people that are freezing right now when they could have gotten their asses down into the warm climate, but... Because there's nothing keeping them where they're at,
My sister was homeless, and she was homeless in San Francisco. And San Francisco isn't that
It's
warm.
Not hot, no.
No, yeah, no. It gets chilly there.
Yeah.
It's never over 68.
It's never over 68, I don't think.
Yeah. That's weird because the weather isn't that much different in Seattle, which is a lot further north, but that's kind of like a weird climate zone.
Have you been to Seattle?
They should send John Kerry up there to study the weather, figure out how to fix the world.
Geez, here we go, Billy. Here we go.
Here's what I do when Ted and I are talking on the phone. He starts this. I just go, and I set my phone down.
All right, everybody. It looks like that's going to do it for our show for the day. And I want to give a big thanks to my buddies, Mr. Billy Reno and Ron Rigby, for making it such a good one. They will be back with part two because that conversation never ended. And in the meantime, it looks like we're getting over the COVID hump, and that means the one-way stickers on the floor of Walmart have disappeared. So I don't have to deal with all the crazy ladies going the wrong way. So until we talk again, be kind to each other out there and try to be happy. And with that, I'm Ted Moss. Those are my thoughts. And Bob's your uncle.